Hey, I need you to do something for me. I just wanted to know if you just saved me one last time. I know how much you hate it when people ask, but just one last time, please.
I read your blog all the time.
Right then, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to podcast number 17. It is Sunday the 11th of December. We've just had a load of Pure Onis screenings. Pure Onis episode 9 is released. And so we're doing a special edition podcast for your listening pleasure. My name is Denwo. Today we talk to Ion Dragon, Deloco, Shervin, Gemimus, Scree, other people, and a USA edition of everybody's favorite admin's dimensions. So, to get right on with the podcast and jump straight in the action, episode 9 of Pure Onage was released yesterday, or today, I think, depending where you are in the world, and we're going to talk about it. Deloco, maybe you can kick off. If you were to think of one word to describe the latest episode, what would it be?
Muffins.
Well, I'm guessing everybody's seen the episode now that's here, so... Okay, Ion, what are your opinions on the new episode, then, as a standard web viewer?
Well, as a standard and well-informed web viewer, well, I think episode 9's a bit varying in quality, in my opinion. I think that there's been a definite increase in quality of not only camera, but also by a quality of the editing on Carl's part with all the special effects and stuff that... In my opinion, the special effects kind of sucked ass. Not because of the quality of them, but I think that, like, in... Especially when he, like, in episode 4, I believe it was, when he was fighting the Tech Master, and they had the little battle, and it was kind of... Quite a lot of it was left to your imagination of how he, like, you know, special effects and everything, whereas this one's kind of been... You know, obviously the show's expanding, and obviously it's getting bigger and everything, but in my opinion, that's the only bitch I have about it. Otherwise than that, I thought it was probably... one of the best episodes of Pure Onage ever.
Well, I think it lacked comedy, like, a lot. There was a few comedy scenes, but not as much as the old ones. It lacked some comedy scenes in blending it with the story, right?
I laughed at a load of points, but I did actually think at one point I actually thought, well, I think this could have been a bit funnier, and we could have... There were some opportunities in there for them to just be silly and just show the sort of the humour which we've seen them display before, you know, in the earlier episodes. I thought there was maybe a bit more opportunity for that, just to keep their energy levels up. Although, I mean, yeah, that's great, and it's entertaining most of the way through. The flashback to China, even though that was, you know, obviously it was required for the storyline, was probably the slowest part, in my opinion. And I'm not sure whether you can... Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure whether you can make the brutal murder or rape or whatever it is of Dave's sister a comedy thing, but it may be dragged on for or it seemed to for a while, although it was sort of setting the tone. I mean, does anybody else find that?
I found that. I also found that the funniest parts of the whole thing were that I only found two main bits, maybe three, that made me actually laugh. The bits that actually made me laugh were the first bit where he goes, even though you hate it, you know, say it, and then boom, he goes, boom, hedgehog, gotta go. That bit was funny. The other bit was funny was when he goes, when he goes, you remind me of Gay, and that whole thing between Anastasia and Jeremy and the guy. But other than that, I thought that it was a bit kind of Kyle. I personally felt that it was more Kyle trying to show his skills at movie making, maybe, rather than making a Pure Onage episode.
Fair enough. Kyle, who was obviously revealed to all. Yeah, right.
Yeah, what's up with that? Because if you remember, last week he came on and he said that he was going to show his face, and he was like, I asked him, I said, can we see your full face? And he said, yeah, you know, you're going to see Kyle's face, and I didn't see his face.
He was... I mean, basically, all you've got is just the official Kyle wallpaper at different angles, right?
Well, actually, in the premiere, Kyle went up and he announced, and there was lots of flashes going on, so they were taking pictures of him. So I think within like 3 or within this week, there's going to be a picture of Kyle somewhere.
My PC got crashed by that.
You're gay.
Not as gay as you.
The voice you all just heard was that of Scope. I had the pleasure of his company for the weekend, along with Dimensions and Chase, at the UK premiere. You know, as everybody knows, there were premiere / screenings in the Netherlands and in Toronto as well, in Canada. And maybe DeLoco...
Next to that. Like, the UK one was a big one, of course.
The UK one was the major sort of mothership of all the screenings, and then the Toronto one was just, it's like a, I don't know, sort of a sub thing. I mean, I heard a few people showed up to it, but...
They had to. I mean, they did it, like, because they didn't want to do it, really, but, you know, I mean, they couldn't really get around to it. They couldn't get out, like,
yeah.
They had to. So, how was the UK screening?
Well, how about you tell us about the Hollandaise screening first?
Well, that's going
to... You can't really remember, can you?
Really small and pathetic. I don't know. I think you know better than me what I was up to.
Okay, well, if I was to give an account of the Hollandaise screening, then it would be based solely on several lengthy phone calls that we got at about 2 or 3 a.m., where DeLoco and Scree were shouting, like, down the phone, really, really drunk, shouting about Baileys and beer. So is that, I mean, did you watch Pure Energy, Joe?
What? Pure Energy? No, man, we just got drunk.
Alright. There's some hilarious photos about, anyway, of that.
Yeah. There's actually a guy in here, his nickname is Geminus, and he's Scree's flatmate, and he was there as well.
Hello there. Scree's about to join us, he's just getting a drink.
While he's getting a drink, it might be a good time for me to point out one of the most peculiar phenomenons I've ever encountered, right? You know, alcohol can change your reaction time, your, you know, perception of things around you, all those things you may know about. But the amazing effect that it has on DeLoco is to completely change his English accent from a sort of pseudo-Canadian-y English to, like, almost pure pikey Irish. No joke. Mate, I'd...
Really?
Yes, I wouldn't have guessed it was DeLoco, apart from what he was saying. And he... I mean, you know how he speaks in the podcast, but if you ever speak to him on the phone when he's pissed, he was after Baileys or something. They were rummaging through the kitchen, him and Scree, right? And he's just there going, "Where's the fucking Baileys?" And just moaning like that. "It's Baileys, Baileys." Just, you know, it was hilarious. So, Mike, we're not watching it.
Have you ripped Chase for being a lightweight?
No, we haven't gotten to the UK screening yet. This, we're just talking about the piss up that happened in across the pond.
He said he was a hardcore drinker.
Oh dear.
Raffle.
We have pictures to prove otherwise.
Oh, come on, tell me. Dish out the dirt.
Okay, well, we're sort of jumping from venue to venue, but it doesn't really matter, because I don't think Scree's here yet, so. Yeah, the UK beside the UK screening, we had Chase. Everybody knows and loves Chase from TeamSpeak. Came all the way from near Edinburgh, like 12-hour coach ride with lots of old annoying people, and then went after the premiere when we went and had a few beers. I think Chase, what was it, Scope? Like three pints and a bottle of lager over about 6 or 7 hours. Is that right?
We're talking at most. The most possible would have been 4 pints over, 6 hours somewhere.
And then there's one point where where Chase is there, and I've got a flatmate, right, who's Greek, who came in and decided to play CS at sort of 3 a.m. And at that point, Chase tried to eat his hair, okay? and shortly after... and shortly afterwards, right? Dimensions was there saying, he said, "Chase, I think you better go to the kitchen and get some water," and, you know, and Chase said something like, I was thinking the same thing, stumbles out the door, and he turns left, heads towards the kitchen, And then sort of 10, 20 minutes pass, and we just sort of look at each other and say, Chase, has been a long time. Go to the kitchen, no sign of anything, lights are off. And then we go into, because a friend of mine wasn't here this weekend, so he loaned me his room, so the four of us can sleep between the two rooms, right, two in each room, because they're quite small rooms. And so we go in, I push the door open on this room, pitch black, except I can make the figure out of Chase, with a bottle of water, I'll grant you, just passed out in a heap on the bed. Just unconscious. So I called in scope and dimensions, and then we had a great time and took loads of pictures and then threw him on the floor.
Great pictures of you doing what to him?
Oh, just I think scope had his thumb up his ass, but we were just sort of thumbs up, you know.
Fair enough. We had a similar thing going on in the Netherlands. Right after, it was about 6 in the morning when everyone finally decided to go to bed. D-Loco was completely on a different planet. And in the course of the next morning, we kept finding D-Loco sleeping in different rooms throughout the flat. I mean, half an hour he was, you know, sleeping in Scree's bedroom, and then an hour later we'd find him under the desk, under a desk somewhere in Scree's computer room, and half an hour after that he'd be in the living room somewhere. He was not a well man.
Well, basically what happened, from what I interpret there, is he tried to sleep with Scree, but Scree kicked him out under the desk. So he went to try and look up naked pictures of Scree on the internet, but didn't find any, and then just collapsed on the sofa because he got the
lies. Lies.
So yeah, fun and frolics in the Netherlands. The UK screening, right, just, I personally, I had a great time.
Was an hour late?
Yeah, just getting to that. It wasn't quite an hour late. We were an hour late showing up, but because we allowed half an hour for people to get there, we were only half an hour starting, but it was so unprofessional. We're stuck in Bath, right, and the city is so busy because there's this rugby match on, which I knew nothing about. The city is heaving with drunken rugby louts, and we're trying to get up to campus, which is up a huge hill, like 2 miles away. And the not only did Dimensions miss his train, you know, insert applause here, he got the next one, and then that was delayed, and then queuing for the bus just didn't turn out. We were standing there for like half an hour, and then we decided to just sort of cut our losses and mission it up the hill on foot, which is not a nice hill. And we ended up getting there an hour later than we should have been there at the bare minimum, you see what I mean? And everybody had arrived. We sort of walked in, and there was this sort of disheartened grumble among the audience, just sort of, hey, it's better. And I don't think they were too impressed, but we just got on with it and watched the thing.
Deserve.
I suppose so.
Somebody say that you were slightly drunk or just not working in your brain, and you like fucked up the projector or something.
It was all a shambles, really. I laughed about it. Nobody else did. The guys from PC Gamer were there. That was fun. We didn't really have a chance to talk to them. We gave them their tickets, and they're like, "Oh, cheers, mate. Thanks a lot. Yeah." And throughout the show, they were just killing themselves laughing, which is good. And then hoping to sort of break the ice and sort of resolve the situation afterwards. The idea was that maybe not everyone would be rushing home, and that some people would maybe hang around, have a chat, maybe go to the bar or anything. Not one. Everybody ran, like, not ran, but everybody just sort of uncomfortably shuffled out of the room. The PC Gamer guys, like, shook our hands, said cheers, mate, and said they had to go. And it was just left us four, like, again, me, Zim, Scope, and Chase. And, fuck, my phone's ringing. And, hang on, excuse me.
It's a reverse situation in the Netherlands. We started pretty late, but, afterwards, you know, I mean, some people left immediately because, you know, I mean, they had to get trains and stuff back to wherever they came from, but many of them stayed for about an hour afterwards. It was really quite, you know, kind of a party atmosphere. And many of them stayed afterwards to help clean up, which earned us some free beers, by the way. It's like a tradition there, if you help clean up the bar, then you get a free drink from the house.
Well, it's like, that's what I was really hoping that it would... I was looking forward to the social side of it more than I was seeing the episode, to be honest. You know, chatting with people who are also fans. And I just don't know what it... I don't think it's entirely because we were late and they were all a bit meh and gay about it. I mean, it didn't help set the mood, but...
What bits did, like, the audiences at the start screening laugh at? Like, episode 9?
They were laughing all the time. Really?
There was a really nice there was a good atmosphere when we were playing the films. It only got awkward when we sort of stopped the film. But yeah, they laughed at anything with Dave, really. Like the beginning of the episode, right? When he said there's nothing to see and all that. That was funny. The PC Gamer crew, because they're a bit older, you know, they're a bit more old school, cracked up at the bit where FPS Doug got his weaponry, you know, where the guy was showing him his arsenal. And there were all the retro guns and stuff. And obviously the bits like...
Did you even get to talk to them or something?
It was literally, hi, how you doing? And then, because we were late anyway, we thought, well, we're not going to keep people waiting. We'll start straight away. There's no real introduction. We just gave people tickets, played the episodes, right? And there's me thinking, episode's 9 over, right? Everyone's just going to, you know, chat and sort of get up and we'll have a great time. And as soon as it finished... Well, everybody got up, but like the PC Gamer people obviously had no intention of staying. They had to get up. I mean, they only live in Bath, for fuck's sake, you know. And if they hear this podcast, I'm ripping the piss out of them. They'll probably never write about Pure Energy again, but... you're all gay! No. Yeah, they just... I mean, they were polite and they were really enthusiastic as well. They didn't show any sort of sign of being disappointed that we were late starting or that it was unprofessional or anything like that. And they were laughing throughout, and then they were sort of like, yeah, thanks for that, mate, thanks a lot for inviting us. And they shook hands, and then they sort of buggered off, like, really quickly. So, yeah, I mean, it was not a disaster, and I suppose you could call it a success, and everybody saw the episode, and the DVD worked, which was important, and I think it's a great episode. And does anybody else have anything to say on the episode?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I could run you guys through the Dutch one.
Jaloco, your account will begin with, I got out my car and went into the room and woke up at Scree's house.
I picked up the beer and it all went black. No.
Episode 5 was great. The rest is a blur.
Well, it was pretty good because we got pizza and stuff and we got some beer and, you know, we watched some Warcraft movies. And then we went off, like, pretty good group, like, I think we had, like, 2 cars filled. And so we went up to the venue, and we checked it out. The guys who were running the bar there, they were already there, and they already had everything set up and stuff. So, you know, we just kind of, like, got some, you know, kind of checked everything out, you know, made sure that everything was working, and set up all the chairs and stuff. And then we went out walking. All the way to the train station, and we hung up posters and stuff so people would know where to go. And, you know, we set up everything, and then the first people came in, and it was really cool. You know, people just, because they walked in straight away, they walked into a bar, so everyone could just go and have a beer and listen to some music and chat. And it filled up pretty good, and we had a video camera, and Luke's was filming everyone and interviewing people and stuff, and it was pretty cool. And about 8:30, we got started. Then suddenly after episode 5 and 6, and after episode 5 and 6, suddenly everyone like started shouting, like, you know, they wanted a break and they wanted to have beer. And so we stopped and everyone had some more beer, and then we went on, and then we stopped after episode 8 and had some more beer, and then we sat back down again, and me and Scree announced it, and Scree took some pictures of everyone with their middle fingers up in the air, which you can check out in the forums. And we rolled it, and everyone lolled.
The only thing I'd say about episode 9 is that there was funny bits, but for me personally, and like, I'm probably going to be hated for saying this, I think Kyle is now trying to show off his skills and like push himself to what he can do cinematically, kind of thing, like with editing and with like stereotypical mimicking of genres of movies, like the whole fight scene especially and everything like that. And it seems he's now like kind of turning away from the comedy aspect of Pure Energy and is now trying to see how cinematic he can make it. It isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it's just this one wasn't as funny as the others, but it was just better made.
I was going to say, I mean, if you watch each episode, I mean, you can sort of detect a fairly major change in style or narrative, like, between each one, and then when you compare sort of the first couple to the episode 9, then yeah, you've got a completely different show, effectively. And obviously you've got the same subject matter or whatever, and it's, yeah, it's still great, and gamers can still identify with it. But I agree entirely, and I, like you say, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I'm just as entertained with something like that, and I still find Jeremy's character or etc. really funny. But yes, it's changed, and I've talked to people who almost didn't stop watching it, like didn't boycott Pure Ownage, but sort of went off it when it went away from the 0-hour RTS gamer, and they don't care about storyline. But hey, you can't please everyone.
See, I think the storyline is really cool now. Like, I can't wait for episode 10. But the same way, I think that when I first started watching it, I really enjoyed it. And then when Day is like goodbye Day from whatever, it just like ruined the whole episode for me totally.
God, I can't remember. It was like your kind of classic cheesy cliffhanger episode thing what he tried to pull off there.
Yeah.
I think that what he's done now is he's given us he's turned the attention back to the story, and he's upped the scope a bit. I mean, this is the first time we've seen, you know, the whole concept of the whole game is, oh, we've seen them all together now, and we see that there's an enemy in a different side. And bits and pieces are starting to fall into place now. I mean, the last few episodes, they're all hodgepodge of different styles and different kind of narrative structures, but you always had this kind of, you know, the mysterious guy, the Death Striker, the Master of Link. You had these things coming into the episodes here and there, but it never really fit into some kind of structure. With 9, I think, we're starting to see the beginning of a real strong, you know, narrative kind of flow beginning here. We're going to see that continued. And the Dave thing is going to fit into here nicely as well. I think he's now finally started to think about how he wants the story to progress.
The only thing for me, like, the only episode that I can honestly say that I didn't think, well, I didn't really enjoy, was episode 8, purely because of the transition from episode 7 to 8. Like, through 5 to 7, you'd have this big, well, especially in 6 and 7, you'd have this whole build-up of mysterious guy, and then it all kind of just in episode 8 it was like, here's the guy, you know, he's really cocky and a prick, blah blah blah, kill him, blah blah, the end. Blatant.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there.
The answers in the plate.
That's what me and Scree were talking about last night as well, is that it seems that there's a lot of cool stuff that Kyle kind of picks up on, and the same has happened in this episode, like with Doug and with Jeremy, with what's going on and stuff. And, you know, with Anastasia, for instance, that scene, he seems to really have, like, these great ideas, and he starts off and he kind of teases people, but it seems that the way he finishes his storylines, they're incomplete. He doesn't, like, completely explain everything, or he builds up to something greater than it eventually becomes.
You can see that he's, you know, he's storyline-wise and everything else, even though it's getting, in my opinion, 9 was a bit heavy in certain bits, but... like, not heavy kind of, oh my god, you're getting chainsawed in the face and your whole family's just been eaten by a bat, but a bit heavy for Pure Ownage.
Remember someone was talking about earlier about the kind of cheesy special effects, you know, with like the microblast and that sort of thing. I think the reason why kind of Kyle brought that in is simply because it adds a bit more kind of, I won't say realism, you know, like hell, but it adds a bit more kind of depth and seriousness to the series. Like, you know, a lot of people flame saying, oh, okay, they've lost the comedy edge and it's not as funny. And for anything, I thought it was even more funny, to be quite honest. You know, just a lot more aspects of it, which were, they kind of kinked up a lot more than what the previous episodes have produced. But it's nice to see that Kyle, you know, as I think Ian or Demo was saying, that, you know, Kyle's really started to push himself in a sense of his editing and his, you know, filming skills and whatnot. But as far as the microblast is concerned, you know, it's like when the Master reversed, you know, Jeremy in that episode back in episode, was it 4 or something like that? Yeah, it's alright because only 1v1, but because there were so many kind of characters and so many enemies or whatever you want to call them in that car park where they were versing each other in episode 9, if anything, I believe like those microwaves would have to be essential so you could tell who was attacking who and, you know, just add a bit more of a kind of twist to it. Like also, to push Carl's editing skills.
What do you guys consider the chances of this thing at one point going commercial or going, you know, a step up in professionalism? I mean, the kind of market he's drilling into now, I mean, every single episode release, and if you ask me, he's timed it just right. I mean, about three months between every episode, that means every single episode release is completely hyped. And the amount of people, that kind of come to the site and start downloading on that first evening is like doubling every single time he does it. Now, if this growth continues, he's drilling into a market that at one point advertisers or game companies are going to be very, very interested in.
I mean, you're right. The fan base, it does increase every time. And in fact, the forums now have over 10,000 members that hit that before the episode release, and like this morning, nearly 1,000 of those were online at once. Like, it's crazy. The community is getting massive.
It is getting very huge.
See, the thing is that Carl said he didn't want it to go to commercial, and this is the thing that at the moment it's really small and everything, and then it's kind of like you've got these guys from TS, and you know, we all know each other, and there's the podcast, and there's the clan, and there's this new music collaboration, and there's like, there's all this stuff that's going on, and then the minute it goes commercial, it kind of like, you know, it's not necessarily Kyle's little own thing. He can't do just specifically what he wants, which is why he wouldn't want it to go commercial. Plus, like you've seen, if you see any big show that goes like huge into Odds of TV or something, then it's kind of like the fans are then like, you know, the people who make it, because they've got so little time for, you know, whatever, they're pulled away. That makes sense.
He has said from the get-go that he doesn't want it to be commercial. He wants creative control and all this. And I think we've talked about this in a previous podcast, or it's just the voice chat that I'm thinking about, which is fair enough. But people's opinions change. I mean, you don't know. I mean, we're not going to affect whether it goes commercial or not. And it might end up like Friends, and it might eventually die a very, very slow and painful death like Friends, and then there'll be a spin-off series called FPS Doug.
The only concern I have, and they'll shut up about everything like this, the only thing was that if Carl says, you know, stand up my morals, I don't want it to go commercial, blah, 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 if some company, like, big-ass company from TV came to him, like, put a huge-ass check on his desk and a contract saying, you keep commercial control, just go to TV, but we get a cut and we can merchandise and blah, blah, blah. There's a chance that he might just, you know, give in and say, all right, then.
Of course he will. I mean, you can't expect him to do otherwise. He's not going to say, oh, but I promised DeLoco and Ion Dragon I wouldn't do this.
Wait, you promise?
Yeah, he's, you know, Kyle is a lying fuck.
Guys.
Anyway, I think what?
Can I talk about the premiere?
You're a bit late. I mean, you can keep it to like 10 seconds if you want to give us a quick rundown of how awesome it was and how you're met everyone and everybody loves you.
Okay, I'll give you a good rundown.
T-minus 10, go.
Okay, this is really good. Like the premiere, like the Onage, and like I met Jeremy and Doug and everybody else, and it was pretty cool because like we saw episode 9 before it actually went online, and it was really good. So yeah,
that's awesome. Very good. 10 seconds exactly. Thank you very much.
I want to ask people what they thought about the scene with Anastasia's new boyfriend. I thought that was the best.
Oh, okay.
Scene.
Yeah.
I thought that Anastasia's new boyfriend was hot.
Remind me of Jay.
Shit, I'm
seriously,
Anastasia.
That is a classic.
I thought it brought out the second funniest section in the whole of the episode, really. Two of the best quotes ever in Puranish history. One being, you remind me of gay, and the other one being, micro isn't what's in your pants.
The best thing for me was, from the episode, in the beginning it was like, FPS Doc not wanting to say boom headshot to his dying mate. I found that so hilarious.
Oh, it's brilliant.
I'm sure that it's not a joke. I know FPS Doc, he probably hates saying boom headshot by now. He just doesn't want to do it anymore. I noticed it on the voice chat once.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
Bang, arm shot.
One thing I did want to ask is that there is obviously now the distinct possibility of further real-life screenings like the ones we've just had at the weekend. possibly for the next episode. I mean, who knows? So
Kyle said we could, if it's like if it's a good like success, he'll do it again.
But, exactly. Yeah, this is it. So what are people's opinions on this? The fact that at certain points in the world, and if you're lucky enough to live near those places, you can pay some money and go and see the new episode, have a laugh with some other fans, before it's out on the web. Do you think that's a good thing?
Well, shouldn't we have more than one episode for screening? We can do it with one episode, I guess.
Well, I mean, DeLoco, wouldn't you be happy just watching one episode and then getting trashed?
I'd be content just showing up and getting trashed.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'd be up for just a meeting anyway, a scheduled meeting. But I think unless you have some sort of gimmick to that, like in Calgary, they had the fan meet, but hey, the crew were there, so people were going to turn up. Could you do it for every episode and just watch the new episode every time? And I'm not sure, but I certainly want another one here anyway. Does anybody else have anything to add on the subject of
this podcast?
It's me, I'm hosting.
I said, who's editing? You dumb fuck.
Yeah, it's me, and I'm hosting. Do you want me to repeat myself again?
Alright.
You dumb fuck.
Well, you're good at hosting, I can agree with that, but...
Well, I thought, to be honest, that Demo made one of the best podcasts ever when he edited the last one.
He did. Demo, congrats to you, man. You really outdid yourself. With that unibrow.
It's free.
How's your, I should ask DeLoco. I was just gonna ask, how's your premiere?
It owned all.
My premiere owned all, too. Like, I saw
you. You didn't have a premiere? What do you mean, your premiere? You didn't organize any fucking premiere.
Just going along, just sitting in a seat, being one of the ants,
shaking,
you know? Hi, lovely to meet you. Oh, Jeremy, I love you. And can I come to the bar with you? Because I'm underage. I'm being really mean to Shervin. I ought to stop this. I mean, obviously, I'd sooner be in Toronto than here. But yeah.
Oh, I heard Cashmere was gonna trot his way down.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't wanna say. There's one more funny line that I think that's pretty sweet, if you guys don't mind.
Has anyone ever told you sound like an American accented Dimensions?
is that a bad thing? Is that a bad thing?
Yeah, you do.
He does! Yeah, yes, it is.
He does.
It's Dimensions, the USA edition. It's like the American version of The Office.
No, it's like the Ali G in the USA. Remember that?
No, it's not.
Okay, so one of the funny things that I thought was at the beginning when they were playing Call of Duty or whatever, and Jeremy's dying and he's just like, there's one more thing I want you to do, and then Doug's like, oh, there's not a watch up your ass, is there?
Yeah. That's
where lol, that's
premiere.
It's a
mention. I thought that the Dragon Ball Z thing, like special effects, was really cool. Like when the keyboard like broke and then the letter.
Yeah, that was really cool.
And it said like owned and stuff, and yeah, that was sweet. And Dave is my freaking hero.
You know what? That was another thing that pissed me off, because it ended on such a sad note, like genuinely sort of, oh god. And then I thought, oh, don't worry, there'll be some light-hearted extra clip at the end, like there is on every other episode. No.
It definitely was a different sort of ending.
Yeah, it was funny, but it was, I think it was more of a movie-like feel to it, because like the other episodes, like they were funny and stuff, and they're just like kind of, I don't know, not as movie-like.
Thanks for coming again, you know, another podcast. We've given the episode a good grilling, so thank you for your input. But anyway, yes, thank you for tuning in to podcast number 17. Over and out.